I'd like to bring this appropriations meeting to order. We have 18 bills on file, of which 10 of these bills are eligible for due pass motion. The remaining bills are suspense items. Also to note, AB 950 by Assemblywoman Melendez has been rescheduled for next week's hearing at the request of the author. Since this is our first hearing of assembly bills, I would like to remind the audience and members that the testimony should be limited to the fiscal aspects of the bill. Please refrain from lengthy policy discussions in your comments. Sergeants, would you please call absent committee members, and also the authors who will be presenting bills today so we can get started. Authors presenting bills with due pass recommendations are Assembly Members Holden, Levine, Chavez, Bonilla, Bloom, Hernandez, Bonta, and Ridley Thomas. Also note, presentation is being waived on all suspense bills. So if we can get author, would be great. You know, members, what we're going to do, since we're waiting on the assembly, we're going to start with the bills that are we're waiving presentation. And before that, we'll establish a quorum. Secretary, please call the roll.
Laura.
Here.
Laura here. Bates. Here. Bates here. Bell. Hill. Leyva. Leyva here. Mendoza.
Here.
Mendoza here. Nielsen.
Thank you. We have a quorum. We're going to begin with AB 144 from Assemblymember Mathis. Witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Finance?
Jacqueline Wong Hernandez with the Department of Finance. We are opposed to this measure because creating a new crime punishable as a misdemeanor could lead to additional cases entering the court system, increase the statewide adult jail population, and impact the ability of counties to manage their offender population. This bill could have an impact on county jail populations to the extent that individuals convicted of a fourth or subsequent dumping offense are sentenced to the up to 30 days in jail, which is not currently allowed.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none and hearing none, without objection, we'll move this item to suspense. I see we have Assemblymember Holden. Please come forward. Members, this is AB 220. Assemblymember Holden, please proceed.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and members, senators. I'd like to thank you for the opportunity to present Assembly Bill 220, a measure relating to the Algebra 1 high school graduation requirements. AB 220 updates the high school graduation requirements by specifying that completion of Mathematics 1 would satisfy this requirement. The costs related to AB 220 will be absorbable and will enable local education agencies to modify procedures to comply with the revised graduation requirements. This bill simply updates the Algebra 1 high school graduation requirement to ensure that students are able to graduate from high school. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Good morning. Sue Vang on behalf of State Superintendent of Public Instruction Tom Torlakson, a sponsor of AB 220. This is a technical cleanup bill. It provides clarification to the districts and to the field regarding the courses that meet the Algebra 1 high school graduation requirement. As the assembly member stated, school districts are implementing the new mathematics content standards, and this bill would result in minor cost to school districts and no cost to the Department of Education. Respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support.
Good morning. My name is Alejandro Sandoval on behalf of EdVoice in support of this bill.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, there's a motion on the measure. Finance.
We're neutral on this bill, which ensures that students are able to meet the high school math graduation requirements regardless of the courses that are offered, as long as they meet the appropriate rigor. We don't see it as having a fiscal impact to the Department of Ed. And to the extent that students are no longer required to take additional courses to satisfy the graduation requirements for math, the clarity could actually result in some savings at the local level.
Oh, you don't hear that often.
Yeah.
So with that, we have a motion on this item. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Senator, we're going to keep that item open to allow our absent members to add on.
I appreciate it.
Thank you.
Thank you.
See, we have Senator Levine. Members, this is AB 331. Senator Levine, please proceed.
Good morning, members. Thank you very much. AB 331 allows school boards to contract in size from 5 to 3. There are some very small school districts in my district and throughout the state where having members on these boards has been very challenging. I've had 2 such districts this past year. The costs are quite minor. We have also Aaron Evans Fudum to comment representing Sonoma County.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Aaron Evans Fudum on behalf of the Sonoma County Office of Education. AB 331 solves a problem that has arisen twice in the past year in Sonoma County. Current law allows school districts with an average daily attendance of less than 300 to have 3 governing board members. However, some can choose to go up to 5 governing board members. Once enrollment has decreased, there is no mechanism in law to contract the size of the school board back down to 3 board members. So this bill adds that mechanism. There is no state cost, and there is little to no cost to the local governing boards as well.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Additional witnesses in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. LeAngela Reed on behalf of the Santa Clara County Office of Education and the School Employers Association of California in support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We don't see a fiscal impact to the state by this bill.
Great. Thank you. Is there a motion? Is there comments or questions from committee? So motion by Senator Hill. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Senator Levine will keep that item open to add, let our other members add on. Thank you.
Thank you, members. Have a great day.
Senator Bonilla. Members, this is item AB 599. Senator Bonilla, take it away.
Assemblymember Bonilla. Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I presented you AB 599, which updates the scope of practice of cytotechnologists to reflect the technology advances. It authorizes them to perform all tests and procedures pertaining to cytology, not just those associated with microscope slides. The analysis cites it costs only $120,000 for regulation development. And what we're seeing is that the cytotechnologists are actually training in California, leaving the state because their scope isn't broad enough here in the state. So this will actually allow us to keep our investment in training our local Californians here in the state and also really create some jobs here as well. I do have a witness, Bob Ackerman, representing the California Association of Pathologists to testify in favor of the bill.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Mr. Chair and members, Bob Ackerman, on behalf of the California Society of Pathologists, we are one of the co-sponsors of the bill, collaboration with cytotechnologists, which are part of the laboratory community. Pathologists, physicians who specialize in laboratory medicine, cytopathology is one subspecialty, and these people are very intricate in terms of what they do. As the Assemblywoman said, it simply updates the statutory definition that's very old.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill at this time, but the Department of Public Health indicates that it would require a 2-year limited term examiner 2 position at a cost of $117,000 in 16-17 and $115,000 in 17-18 to develop the regulations governing the expansion of the cytologist scope of practice. Any ongoing costs would be minor and absorbable.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? There's a motion by Senator Leyva. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Thank you. Assemblymember, we want to keep that open for our absent members. Senator, Assemblymember Bloom. Assemblymember, you have 2 items, AB 703 and AB 1166. My understanding is you're waiving presentation on 703?
Yes, that's correct.
Great, thank you. So members, we have AB 1166. Senator Bloom, the floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chair. I also have Assembly Bill 1149 on behalf of Assembly Member Wood. But I'll start with AB 1166. This is a bill that the committee has made some recommended technical amendments. We're happy to accept those. And the bill itself clarifies that certain aspects of a bill I carried last session, AB 1806, as sometimes happens, needs some help. And that bill gives students identified as homeless education-related rights similar to those of their foster youth peers. It ensures that homeless students who obtain housing and students who are homeless but not properly identified as so can still receive the assistance that's provided by 1806 that I carried last year, as I said. And as stated in the analysis, the bill has minimal cost, has no opposition, and no votes, and I ask that you please support it. Thank you.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. Lee Angela Reed on behalf of the Association of California School Administrators in strong support. AB 1166 not only removes some of the obstacles to graduation for homeless youth, but it recognizes that being homeless can affect a child even after they find stable housing. For these reasons, we support the bill.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill. However, we have a concern that the bill could create a reimbursable state mandate if it's determined that school districts are required to track the issuances of specified notices and corresponding eligibility, or to ensure that the exemptions are granted to homeless youth are maintained until graduation, whether or not a student subsequently changes schools after they're no longer homeless. Additionally, the State Department of Education estimates costs between $15,000 and $20,000 general fund to develop a management bulletin and provide technical assistance to LEAs.
Thank you. Let me just clarify something. Do you accept the amendments, correct,
that we're correct. Proposing?
Thank
yes.
you. Just to make that clear. Any comments or questions from committee? There's a motion to move the bill as amended by Senator Mendoza. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass as amended to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates? Bates, aye. Bell? Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Thank you. We're going to keep that item open to allow our absent member to add on.
Thank
and
you.
And I understand you're presenting for Senator Wood?
That's correct.
Perfect. Members, this is item AB 1149. And go ahead.
That is correct, Mr. Chair and Senators. The Hospital Preparedness Program allocates federal money to support preparedness in the face of public health emergencies, such as terror attacks, natural disasters, epidemics, illnesses, and the like. Funds for the program are administered through a non-competitive grant process at the CDPH, their Emergency Preparedness Office, to be specific. Historically, trade associations have been key assets to the program as they are naturally structured for education and outreach to membership. And in 2014, CDPH rendered a new interpretation of the Health and Safety Code, determining that because associations are not specifically identified in the code, they can't participate. So AB 1149 fixes that by simply adding the words trade association to the code, allowing them to be able to serve in this very valuable program. This change will also save CDPH resources because they won't have to search for other entities to run the program. Here in support, Matthew Robinson of the California Association of Healthcare Facilities is present.
Thank you. Go ahead.
Good morning, Chair. Good morning, members. Matt Robinson, California Association of Health Facilities. Thank you for this opportunity this morning. This is just a technical cleanup to continue the status quo with the associations who have been receiving this funding in the years past, such as California Association of Health Facilities, California Primary Care Association, and California Hospital Association. We do have the infrastructure already in place to continue this disaster preparedness and emergency preparedness, so we ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We don't believe that this bill has a fiscal impact. You know, it does not divert HPP funds away from public health, since trade associations involved in emergency preparedness activities have, as Assemblymember Bloom indicated, already been receiving funds from the Department of Public Health prior to the need to clarify their eligibility, which is what this does.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? There's a motion by Senator Leyva. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
Aye.
Bates, aye. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
We'll keep that item open to allow our absent member to add on. Thank you.
Thank you. Assembly Member Wood, thanks you.
Members, I don't see any other assembly members. We're going to keep moving down the agenda on those items that we've waived presentation, beginning with AB 222 by Assemblymember Ashajian. Witnesses in support. Go ahead.
Good morning, Mr. Chair and members. I'm Kobe Pizzotti with the California Association of Psychiatric Technicians. As many of you are aware, 92% of the patients residing in state mental hospitals are there under a forensic commitment. This means that the committing criminal offense must have been a serious and violent nature. Over 70% of CAPS membership are women, many whom have been stalked by the patients once they have been released from the facilities. Also, CAPT has nearly 1,100 psych techs providing direct level of care to mentally unstable inmates in our state's prisons. While nearly all of the staff that work in a prison enjoy the protection of the state's enhanced confidentiality program at the DMV, through an oversight, psychiatric technicians are not. One of our members, I'll call her Rachel, had a patient become infatuated with her while she was providing care at one of the state's hospitals. This infatuation turned into an obsession and eventually harassment. Rachel was moved off the unit where the patient was to protect her from the unwanted advances that soon became attacks. Finally, the patient was released into the community, and Rachel thought she was safe and the harassment had stopped until one day, Rachel started receiving threatening texts from what turned out to be the patient. He sent sent her vulgar pictures and made threats to harm her and her family. Rachel contacted the police and got a restraining order. Unfortunately, the police could not find the former patient. The harassment continued. She and her family finally changed all of their phone numbers until one day there came a knock at her door. Rachel looked through her peephole and realized it was a patient. Thankfully, the police were there to pick up the patient just a few blocks away. Another incident from one of the prisons included one of our members that I'll call Stan. Stan had been receiving verbal threats from an inmate until one day the chief psychiatrist and warden wanted to speak with Stan regarding some of the letters the inmate had sent to his family. The letters told the inmate's family to find out all the information they could on Stan, including getting his license plate and make and model of his car. The inmate was set to be released in 4 months. The warden told Stan of the enhanced confidentiality program at the DMV and encouraged him to fill out the proper paperwork and apply. When Stan went to do so, he was informed that the psych tech classification was not protected under the Enhanced Confidentiality Program, even though they have some of the most direct, frequent contact with inmates. This bill simply seeks to protect psych techs that have the most direct contact with serious and violent criminals by including them in the list with every other classification of employee at the Department of Corrections and Rehabilitation in the Enhanced Confidentiality Program at DMV. Thank you.
Any additional witnesses in support? Witnesses in opposition? Finance.
We don't have a position on this bill, but DMV notes that the bill would cost $134,000 to implement and $30,000 in ongoing costs to the motor vehicle account. These costs include IT programming costs related to implementation and ongoing administrative expenses. And as we've continued to note this year, the MVA has a structural imbalance, and it's due to projected to become insolvent in 2017-18.
Thank you. Go ahead. Comments or questions? Senator Leyva.
I had a question for finance. So this would just be adding a group of individuals, employees, to the protected list. Why are the costs so high?
So there is a whole process for doing that, and those are all done manually by only a small group of employees at DMV. So everything is sent through a central place to do that, and then those are the employees, that the only ones who can access that information going forward. And so there's sort of an infrastructure to do it. And in the past, DMV has indicated that this has been potentially minor costs, and the ongoing costs are minor of the $30,000. But then it's become increasingly common to do this. So there's 25 classifications of employees right now that have it. And so DMV's indicated this is becoming a significant expense to them.
So the $134,000 that's projected would be the cost for DMV to enter all the psych techs in?
Yes, and to process the paperwork from the department.
Okay, so that would be a one-time, and then, like you said, the $30,000 ongoing. Okay.
We don't have computers to do that, I guess.
I guess not. It seems like it's well worth the cost. Thank you.
I'll take that as a motion to move to suspense. So without objection, we'll move this item to suspense. Next, we have AB 231 by Assemblymember Eggman. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
The Department of Finance is neutral on this bill because it creates equal protections for victims of stalking offenses when an offender is released from prison, regardless of the offender's type of post-prison supervision. We recognize that this measure may constitute a higher level of service under Prop 30 because it could drive additional workload for county probation departments that supervise offenders on the post-release community supervision. That said, CDCR indicates that in 2013 and 2014, 295 offenders with either a controlling or subordinate offense of stalking were released on post-release community supervision. So we believe that any local costs resulting from this will be minor.
Great, thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Next item is AB 303, Assemblywoman Gonzalez. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We're neutral on this bill, also, as it clarifies that strip searches of juveniles be conducted in private. There is a possible mandate because this measure may constitute a higher level of service because it could impose minor additional workload on county probation departments when supervising incarcerated juvenile offenders, but we believe this is very minor.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we'll move this bill to the suspense file. Next, we have AB 608, Assemblymember Gordon. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it's unnecessary. A list of emergency food providers, WIC program, and National School Lunch and School Breakfast Program enrollment information is currently provided to CalFresh applicants by counties upon request. If needed, the Department of Social Services could administratively issue clarifying guidelines to counties to include food programs that target children as a CalFresh program best practice. Requiring counties to provide this information, however, creates a new state mandate.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Next, we have AB 703, Assemblymember Bloom. Witnesses in support. Scurry forward.
Alan Hertzfeld on behalf of the Judicial Council in support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We're neutral on this bill because it provides additional protections to a juvenile's right to competent representation in delinquency proceedings, and we believe that the costs to Judicial Council are minor and absorbable.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Without objection, we move this item to the suspense file. Next, we have AB 773, Assemblymember Baker. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
Department of Finance is also neutral on this bill. We estimate that the bill will result in only minor and absorbable increases in workload for the Board of Psychology and the Medical Board, and a negligible impact on revenues to both boards due to some licenses being able to get the 2 years worth of licensure out of their first license term.
Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to a suspense file. AB 1058, Assemblymember Baker. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
The Department of Finance opposes this bill because it's unnecessary. Current law already requires the Department of Ed, in consultation with the Department of Social Services Office of Child Abuse Prevention, to perform a scope of work which includes both creating and posting guidelines on the detection and reporting of child abuse and neglect, and creating an online training module that's supposed to be housed at the Department of Social Services on their website. The Department of Education would require approximately $59,000 general fund to develop its own separate new training and post it online on its website.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Seeing and hearing none, without objection, we move this item to the suspense file as well. Is it back?
Can I make a comment on that last one, please?
Absolutely. Senator Bell.
Well, in my district, we just had another multi-million dollar settlement on child abuse in schools, and I think training may be a wise thing to prevent these kinds of lawsuits, so that would save taxpayer money from that standpoint. Not to mention it's good for policy, but I just want to point that out.
Thank you. We can have sergeants call the remaining members, Assemblymember Chavez, Hernandez, who's also presenting for Nazarian, Assemblymember Bonta, and Assemblymember Ridley Thomas. Don't make me close the committee, because I will. Why don't we open the roll on the items that are pending so that Senator Bell can add on. First, we have AB 220. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Nielsen?
Still on call, 6-0. Next item is AB 331. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Nielsen?
6-0. We'll keep that item open. Next, we have AB 599. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye.
6-0. We'll keep that item open. Next, we have AB 1166. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass as amended to the Senate floor. Bell? Bell, aye.
6-0. We'll keep that item open. Next, we have AB 1149. Secretary, please call the roll. Oh, he's on the roll. He's on that. We'll keep that item open for Senator Nielsen. Okay, we're gonna start closing on the items that we've already voted on. Come in here with that smile and try to like. Members, we have Senator Hernandez has graced us with his presence. Let's begin with item 804.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Assembly Bill 805 requires the Court Reporters Board of California to adopt regulations to establish continuing education requirements for renewal of shorthand reporter certification that are relevant to the practice of shorthand reporting. Further, AB 804 requires the board to establish a procedure for approving providers of continuing education courses. It also ensures that every CSR meets a continuing education minimum standard, that the verbatim record continues to be held to the highest standard possible. As your committee analysis points out, there is a minimal cost to this bill. With me to testify in support of Assembly Bill 805 is Ignacio Hernandez, my cousin of the California Court Reporters Association. I respectfully ask for your vote.
There's a conflict of interest here going on. Go ahead. Witnesses in support.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. Ignacio Hernandez on behalf of the California Court Reporters Association. We are the sponsors of the measure. The court reporters are coming forward asking for this statewide requirement. Right now, there are court reporters that are going forward with continuing education on a voluntary basis, trying to keep up with the latest technology and the latest changes in the law. However, it's kind of a hodgepodge where we don't have everybody in the profession participating in continuing education courses. So this will create a statewide standard and ensure that everyone is up to speed. They cover technology, they cover changes that all of you pass when it comes to criminal procedure and civil procedure. And other than getting their initial license and licensing exam, there's nothing ongoing for the profession. So this is a way to strengthen the profession and strengthen the ethical rules. We ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
The Department of Finance is opposed to this bill because it would require an effective date before the board can realistically implement the provisions, and it would exacerbate the insolvency of the Court Reporters Fund by not authorizing a fee sufficient to cover the board's implementation costs. The Department of Consumer Affairs indicates that because the board's fiscal year 2015-16 appropriation cannot absorb the increased staff costs, that this bill would necessitate the board would not be able to hire staff to address the workload until July 1, 2016. As currently written, that's the date that this is supposed to go into effect.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? There's a motion by Senator Leyva. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is do pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill? Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
We'll keep that item open to allow our absent members to add on. I understand you're also presenting for Assemblyman Nazarian?
Yes, sir.
Great.
Thank you, if you'll indulge me. Okay.
Members, this is AB 970.
That's correct. So AB 970 relates to local minimum wage. Mr. Chair and Senators, AB 970 fills a gap in the Labor Commissioner's authority to make low-wage workers whole in wage theft cases. The bill clarifies the Labor Commissioner's authority to cite an employer and recover wages owed in two instances, one for failure to pay the local minimum wage, and two for failure to reimburse an employee for all necessary expenditures incurred by the employee directly related to his or her duties as required by existing law. The bill states that the Labor Commissioner shall not issue a citation if the local entity has cited or initiated an investigation for the same violation. This bill does not apply to employers complying with minimum wage laws. The failure to recover wages on behalf of the worker after a citation has been issued will result in the worker bringing a separate claim before the Labor Commissioner. This adds unnecessary new costs and adds delays for workers who deserve full compensation. I thank you and respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you, members. Witnesses in support.
Mr. Chairman and members, Mark Schacht with California Rural Legal Assistance Foundation, the sponsors of the bill. As the assembly member indicated, this bill, its practical effects will reduce the number of workers who are forced to file a separate claim before the Labor Commissioner or a civil action in Superior Court to recover these lost wages, and it'll increase the number of workers who are likely to be made whole as a result of the Labor Commissioner's new citation authority. So happy to answer any questions and ask for your support.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition, please come forward.
Chris McKaylee, Mr. Chair. Our concern are both policy and fiscal.
As we noted in the policy committee, the additional authority granted to the labor commissioner will increase annual cost to the DIR of about $125,000. That is paid for then by increased employer assessments, and therefore our policy concern is that employers up and down the state will be paying these increased assessments for the small number of jurisdictions who have a higher local minimum wage by local ordinance. We don't think that those costs should be borne by all statewide employers. Thank you.
Thank you.
Mira Morton here on behalf of the California Chamber of Commerce, also in opposition for the reasons already stated.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? Senator Leyva.
I would just thank the author for authoring the bill and Assemblymember Hernandez for presenting the bill. Anything that we can do to make sure that workers are not denied their wages, we should do. And usually it is the lowest wage workers who have their wages stolen or not paid. So I am in strong support.
Thank you. Senator Bell.
Just that a lot of communities have passed the local minimum wage ordinances, and I think those should be enforced. And it is apparent that there's a lot of violations of those. So in my mind, I think it's very important that we have enough support in the Labor Commissioner's office to enforce all those ordinances and make sure that the laws are being followed.
Thank you. I'll take that as a motion. Is there additional questions or committee? Oh, finance.
We don't have a position on this bill. As one of the testifiers noted, the Department of Industrial Relations estimates $125,000 in labor enforcement and compliance fund funds for field enforcement staff to enforce the provisions of this bill. We don't necessarily concur with that, and we would note that any request for additional resources by the DIR would be evaluated in detail during the budget process this fall.
Thank you. Additional comments or questions from committee? Seeing none, the bill is moved by Senator Bell. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates?
No.
Bates, no. Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Thank you. We'll keep that item open for our absent members. I understand you're also presenting for Assemblymember Ridley Thomas.
Yeah, apparently my colleagues see me as labor chair, as providing extra labor on their behalf. So
I hope they give you part of their per diem as well.
I think they ought to. That would be right.
Members, right. This is Assembly Bill 1175.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and members. I'm pleased to present Assembly Bill 1175, which would provide fiscal certainty to the Bureau of Electronic and Appliance Repair, Home Furnishings and Thermal Insulation by raising the statutory ceiling for licensing fees. This bill would require a one-time minor and absorbable IT cost of approximately $500. It would also be an absorbable one-time cost to Department of Consumer Affairs to adopt these regulations and increase fees. This bill will not raise the fees that licensees must pay by 25%. It will simply allow the Bureau to use regulatory process to see a fee increase if it becomes necessary. If fees are raised to the statutory maximum, both the Bureau of Electronic and Appliance Repair and Home Furnishings and Thermal Insulation special funds would receive a combined increase of revenues, $1,016,17 and $1.6 million in the following years. I respectfully ask for your vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
According to the Department of Consumer Affairs, implementing the provisions of this bill will result in additional revenues totaling $1,029,000 for the HFTI fund starting in fiscal year 2016-17 and ongoing. It will also result in additional revenues totaling $622,000 for the BEAR fund starting in 2017-18 and ongoing. The DCA projects that the HFTI fund will become insolvent in fiscal year 2017-18, and the BEAR fund will become insolvent in 2019-20 without a fee increase, and this provides a fee increase that would help with that.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? It's a motion by Senator Leyva. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates? Bell?
Aye.
Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
We'll keep that item open for our absent members. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Chair, members. Hernandez. Thank you.
I'm sure your colleagues thank you as well. Half of the assembly. We have Assemblymember Bonta. Please come forward.
Members, this is AB 991. Floor is yours.
Thank you, Mr. Chairman and Senators. AB 991 makes various technical, conforming, or minor changes to the teacher's retirement law. These changes are necessary to ensure that CalSTRS is able to continue the effective and efficient operation of the programs under the teacher's retirement plan. These changes are non-controversial and will not result in any program costs. I have with me Mary Ann Ashley from CalSTRS to answer any questions you may have. I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support.
Mary Ann Ashley with California State Teachers Retirement System. This is our annual housekeeping bill, and I respectfully ask for your aye vote.
Thank you. Additional witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We don't have a position, but we note that CalSTRS estimated implementing certain provisions of this bill would cost approximately $100,000 for necessary upgrades to its member database system. However, those costs will largely be offset by operational efficiencies achieved as a result of reduced claims processing.
Thank you. Comments or questions from committee? So motion by Senator Leyva. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates? Bell? Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Thank you. Mr. Senator, we'll keep this item open for us.
Thank you, Mr. Chair and Senators.
Thank you. Waiting for Chavez? Oh, Senator Mathis. Senator Mathis is presenting for Senator Chavez, AB 598. Please proceed.
Mr. Chair and Senators, AB 583 will provide employment protection to members of the National Guard who work in California and are called up by their governor in another state. Nationally, 13 states offer similar provisions to protect National Guard members, and 11 have introduced legislation this year. AB 583 is supported by the Department of Defense, the California Professional Firefighters Association, and various veterans organizations across the state. I respectfully ask for an aye vote.
Thank you. Witnesses in support. Witnesses in opposition. Finance.
We believe this bill will likely have a minimal fiscal impact on the state. There are very few service members, fewer than 300, that would fall into this designation, and the potential minor reimbursable state mandate, which would result from having a city prosecutor or county DA represent the military personnel, occurs only if an employer fails to comply with the employment protections for this very small group.
All right, thank you. Comments or questions from committee? There's a motion by Senator Hill. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Lara?
Aye.
Lara, aye. Bates? Bell? Bell, aye. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Leyva?
Aye.
Leyva, aye. Mendoza?
Aye.
Mendoza, aye. Nielsen?
Thank you.
Okay. Members, this is 5-0. That bill is out. Thank you, Senator Mathis, for going above and beyond duty. Members, we're going to go back and close on the items that we currently have open, beginning with AB 220. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
6-0. That item is out. Next item is AB 331.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
6-0. That item is out. AB 599. Secretary, call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
6-0. That item is out. File item AB 1166. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass as amended to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
That's 6-0. That item is out. File item AB 804. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Hill?
Aye.
Hill, aye. Nielsen?
5-1, that item is out. Next is AB 970. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
5-1, that item is out. AB 991. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Bates? Nielsen?
5-0, that item is out.
Next item is AB 1149. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Nielsen?
6-0. That item is out. Last item is AB 1175. Secretary, please call the roll.
The motion is due pass to the Senate floor. Bates? Nielsen?
5-0. That item is out. Members, this concludes our Appropriations Committee for today. Thank you.